Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
So it's great to be here. And if you're watching online, you know, we've got this morning, we've got people, you know, every week join us from America, different bits of America and England and France and all sorts of stuff. So we're just going to say hello to them and you're really welcome. We would be great if we could see you in the church sometime if you ever were over this far. But thanks for joining us this morning. And so I'm going to encourage you today because that's a really funny thing to say, isn't it? Actually, I'm going to make you feel really depressed, all right? If you think your life's bad, just you wait till I get the Bible open and I bash you over the head with it, all right? Because if you feel miserable now, there are layers of condemnation which you have not even plumbed the depths of. Is that making you feel better? No, that's a joke. If you're a visitor, I'm really joking as they head for the doors. No, I'm not. We're going to encourage you because one of the great things about the Word of God is it speaks right into where you and me are at. Isn't that right? It's not some dusty old book. Do you know what I've been really interested in? Just as an aside before I get started, there's a guy called Jordan Peterson who I quite like to listen to, right? And if those of you don't listen to him, well, that's fine. You know, allegedly controversial. I don't think he is. But he's been on this mad journey to faith, right? And whilst I'm really, really, really reticent about different groups sort of claiming somebody as their own, because that's really unhelpful, right? Undoubtedly, if you track this guy, do you know, all know who I'm talking about? It's kind of like a speaker. Interesting. We went on a missions trip, which was basically a boys' trip to Dublin. I had to hear him speak at the Point, Three Arena. And there was like 13,000 people there. I remember I told you this, and I was really fascinated. Why would 13,000 people on a Sunday night pay €80 a ticket to go and hear this guy speak? Because he just kind of is cutting through the noise. Anyways, but the subtext is there's this journey to faith. One of the interesting things, if you go online on one of his YouTube videos, he talks about the Bible. And this is really fascinating kind of guy who, would he say he's had an encounter with Jesus? I'm not sure. I think he's well on the way. But this unbelievable view as a you know on what the Bible means as like the text of all texts, right? And it's really interesting. If I can find the link, I might put it out this week to go and listen because like this guy who's lived his whole life and is kind of looking at the world and where it's going and the craziness of it all and the weirdness of it all at times and just go. But then there's this kind of connection to the Creator through the Bible, and when you go, it just completely rocks your world. Right, and we've grown up with the Bible, if you've been in church, right, for any length of time. And we kind of become so blasé with it that half of us don't read it every day, right? Oof, poof, started for 10, right? And then, that's right, my job's to encourage you. Keep remembering that. I'm totally joking, right? And so what happens is we become so used to it, it's almost become like kind of whatever, you know. We were at a wedding yesterday, and they were all from like London, Mike. And I found myself slipping into, you know when you're surrounded by people from Essex, mate, right? You end up talking like them. So I at one point said to this random stranger, "Hello, mate." And I was thinking, what the heck? Right? Where did that come from? I've just done the entire wedding ceremony as Andrew from Belfast. Then I meet this guy afterwards. "Hello, mate, you all right?" And he was like looking at me like, what the flip is going on with this guy? And then they had this Scottish bit of the ceremony. I swear to you, I note to self, I had to do this whole thing and it's a thing in Scotland. So I'm getting them a talk in a minute. But it's called a quick. Have you ever heard of that? A quick, exactly what? Nobody's ever heard of it. But there's this bit where you read in Scottish. Well, you don't read it. You read it in English, but it's very Scottish. And I was like, oh, don't go into the accent. Hoots mon the hoot na hoo. I was thinking, I'm definitely going to slip into pure Scotch here. Can't help it. And then they have a big tankard of whiskey. That here's the thing. They drink from it. And has anyone ever seen this? This, I tell you, I was convinced that people in Scotland were weird after seeing that yesterday, right? It's a wee bit like the Catholic, you know where the Catholic priest has to drink all the wine? Well, the priest meant to drink all the scotch after this. It's about that deep. I was like, they're going to be carrying me out by the ankles if I drink this. So I was just like, I did the wee pretend at the end and passed it on. But isn't it funny? Anyway, the whole point was that what was I talking about? I have no idea. Yeah, accents. So I was at this wedding, Jordan Peterson. Yeah, the whole thing of the Bible and going, like, I love to hear somebody who wasn't brought up with it talk about the power of the Word of God above every other text ever written. He talks about the primacy of this text and how every other text is drawn from it. And so we get to draw from that this morning. Do you get that? Some of you still don't look that excited about it, man. This is how we live our lives. It says the righteous will live by faith. And faith comes by what? By hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So you're in for a treat this morning. If your heart's open and your mind's open, we're going to delve into the depths of God's grace this morning and allow the grace of God through his word to collide with where our lives are at. And I promise you, you'll be encouraged. If you open your heart this morning and say, Lord, I'm open for your word. I'm ready for your word. I might have a million things going on in my life and my mind right now, but Lord, speak to me in the name of Jesus. I promise you, you'll walk out of here with a deposit that will change how you live this week. Amen? Okay, so let's get cracking. I've been talking about being prospered. I spoke last week on that and how it's like being prospered in these times. Anyone go, right, it's a wee bit crazy out there, but I would love to live prosperously. Let me see your hands. Okay, the religious people will go, oh no, I just want to be miserable. Okay, get that gas switched off and I'll just have a loaf of bread to do me a fortnight, all right? Can't wait till it gets stale and hard, right? Well, brilliant. Jesus loves me, right? And no, of course you don't think that. Of course you want to be blessed. And what I've been saying is, like, you know, even though, that, you know, where do you start? Well, I keep using the same verses at the start. You set your hope fully, it says in 1 Peter 1:13, you set your hope fully on the grace that is revealed whenever you see Jesus. Your only chance, your only hope is the unmerited favor of Jesus in your life, right? Anything outside of that is just not going to work. And, you know, sometimes actually within this, I want to say today, we sometimes lose the fact that we live in a broken world. And, you know, like, we set our hope fully on grace, but we're setting our hope fully on grace in the context of the world, which is broken. And we often lose sight of this, folks. There is sin out there, right? And at times we suffer the consequence of sin. And sometimes we walk through things as a consequence because we live in a broken world. And it's important to understand this because sometimes people get disappointed with God when they go, I thought the whole point of this was I would sort of just, like, you know, I don't know, remember like the Ready Brick kid sort of thing, you know, when you used to eat Ready Brick? And I am so sure my age, aren't I? Well, I can't remember that, but Penny used to tell me there's these TV ads for Ready Brick kids. And like a holy glow around you. And can I just say that whenever there are consequences for things that we don't do right, it's not the same as God punishing you. That's really important. You will never be punished by God if you are in Christ. You won't be punished in this life, and you won't be punished in the life to come. Your days of fearing punishment by your Creator are finished. Why? Because you are loved. Amen? That's so important that we nail it. That is grace, the scandalous nature of God's grace. You know that there are challenges for sure. There are ups, there are downs. And what I want to say is that even though we live in this world, it would be crazy, right? It would be crazy that if we as believers today in the new covenant of God's grace live the same way as people who don't have that relationship. Wouldn't that, like, what would be the point? You know what I mean? Anyone? If you watch The Simpsons, right? I mean, they used to say, like, churches, there was this line in The Simpsons, church is just like a club, but it's not a very good club because there's no beer, right? And that's a line from The Simpsons, not from me, okay? It's not theology, don't judge me, all right? But there's that kind of sense of what on earth is all of this about if we don't have access and the benefits of relationship with the God who created us all? Yeah. And so we don't want to live with the same expectations as everybody else. And so we're called to live by faith, like I've said. And that word pistis means that confident expectation of God's goodness. Even in the times that we live in, even in the mess of consequence, even in the mess of everything else, the Lord says, get up every morning with your heart set fully on grace, which only comes through Jesus. And then believe, like it says in Psalm 27:13, one of our signature verses for the last year, I will remain confident of what? Of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. I read something this week that really struck me in that. The Lord encouraging me every day to get up, right? And believe, just not to, you know, our house is just like your house probably. Lots going on, kids, craziness, blah, 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 blah. You know, we don't get up and have a worship service, you know, at 6:30 in the morning. Penny would like that, but I'm just not up for it. She probably would do that, but I don't, right? But just the Lord encouraging me this week, I read this one thing. It says, whatever you're worrying about, God is working on. Oh, isn't that brilliant? See, whatever you're worrying about right now, God's already working on it. So get up and be confident that you're going to see his goodness. Amen? Brilliant. So this is what it means to be prospered. So last week I talked about prosperity is from the inside out, not the outside in. And I want to just actually help you today because you get into, well, potentially, if you don't really know this, as soon as we hear this word prosper, we get so prickly, don't we? So I'm going to kind of go a little bit basic for you today, give you some very basic Bible concept around prosperity and give you a brief outline. So we're going to dig deeper into these whole delights of what I've called them of prosperity. So here's my first point today. My first point is this, is you will never prosper in your life until you believe that it's God's will for you. Let me just give you some of the most famous verses ever written. They're on every Bible shop you'll ever go into. They're in a frame. They're in a poster. Every kid has them on a, what do you call those, bookmark things, right? But what I understand is this, you can never, for your heart to be convinced, right? Where we need to move past is just a head appreciation of what the word says and let it be a heart conviction of his love for us. Big difference. The world is full of people, particularly our part of the world, who can quote the Bible way better than I can. But to live in the goodness, to be confident of God's goodness in these days is something entirely different. You get me? And so what I want to say to you is this. There is a religious overhang in most of us, particularly, and I know because we walked through hell on this, and this is one of our issues. Honestly, that's how this church ever came about, was because we were told that if we ever preached this stuff, that we would not be welcome. And so that's why we're here, because we weren't welcome. Religion hates what I'm just about to put out for you. But you know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for people in our life. So wherever you're at right now, people like Pastor Joseph Prince, as an example, who many years ago when we were walking through stuff, we could draw from a deep well of God's grace that gave us the strength to stand and still believe, right? And maybe just today that might be what you need too. Because it is God's will that you prosper. I know the plans. Remember this one, Jeremiah 13? Well, here's what's interesting. Remember, this text, the text of all texts, the primacy of this text, of, you know, as an outsider saying, going, flip me, this is amazing. And we just go, yeah, blah, 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 right? But what's the heart of God here? I know the plans that I have for you, he says. I'm going to prosper you, this word, I'm going to delve into it in a minute, and not harm you. I want to give you hope and a future. I mean, we could just sit on that, couldn't we, and just read that for the next hour and go, you're in the heart of God right now. He is scheming and planning and working on everything that bothers me. Why? Because he wants me to walk confidently in his goodness every day of my life. That's what I read there. That's his heart. Now, remember, this is written to people under the law. So let me come to that. Also was written was this in Psalm 1:3, the very start of this beautiful book. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Remember last week I talked about the whole ceremony of water and libation and that stuff, right? So the water coming from the inside out, it brings forth fruit in its season. Those whose leaf also shall not wither, whatever he does shall prosper, right? So if you have got the life of God in you, the spirit of grace in you, then what God says is you'll prosper. I'm not picking up anywhere here that the Lord's a wee bit, oh, should we just be careful about this word? No, the religious kind of mindset that will go, ooh, prosperity, okay? That's a wee bit like murdering your children, isn't it? It's just as bad, all right? We don't do that. You can believe in the goodness of God, but full stop. Or be careful. Let's live in a wee bit of balance. All that stuff. I'm going to say it's not even in the Bible. So this book of the law, it says in Joshua 1:8, it's my favorite book of the Bible, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. And we go, oh no, I can't do all that's written in it. And Jesus says, it's okay, I did it all for you. Just come and receive. Receive what? Okay? For then you'll be prosperous. Isn't that incredible? Time and time and time again, and you will have good success. So time and time again, the heart of God revealed before the new covenant of Jesus and his grace is, I want my people to prosper. I want my people to be prosperous people. Not just that, I don't want it to be hidden, kind of like, almost like we're embarrassed about it. And he says, I've raised my people up, why? So I can show them my power and that everybody else can see my goodness, right? So some of us need to get off our high horses and our embarrassment about the heart of God for us. Because undoubtedly, in fact, let me just give you another verse here. It's like Psalm 35. What happened there? Hold on, I put my teeth back in, right? Psalm 35:20. They actually are in them. I'm only joking. Psalm 35. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified." Right? Who has pleasure or delights? Some versions say who delights in the prosperity of his servant. Can I just say to you, I love that. Like the whole mega theme, the meta narrative of God's relationship towards us is not to keep you down, not to keep you worried, not to keep you all this. He wants to see you do so well. Do you know that? He wants to see you walk in health, in wholeness, in completeness. He's not embarrassed about it. He's not ashamed about it. Which one of us with our own kids would go, well, do you know what? I want them to do really well as long as they walk with a limp, right? Do you know that sort of, maybe not, you know, physically, but no, that sort of metaphorically speaking. You know, we love that in this part of the world, don't we? We like people who do well, but not too well. We get a bit prickly about that, don't we? Like it was once described to me, if you owned a shop and you're putting a wee ad in the window for a Saturday kid, you know, coming to, like, smart boy wanted, but in brackets, but not that smart, right? It's hard built into this, isn't it? But God delights whenever you do well. God delights to see you prospering in every area of your life. He loves it. That's what his grace is about. He's not withholding anything from you. He's not punishing you. He's not bringing wrath on you. In fact, his posture is set the opposite way. He delights, his heart leaps whenever you are prospered fully. Amen? Now, if we're not convinced of it, we'll never see it. And we need to get over our churlishness around this subject, because the heart of God is really clear. So why is it then that some of us have this, you know, have a fit, really? Religious people have a fit. Charismatic, they all have a fit, right? It's almost like kryptonite to Superman as soon as you hear this reaction. Because there's this lazy trope. A trope is just something you throw out called the health and wealth gospel. We were accused of this. In fact, in one of our last places, there were books circulated. You know you're in trouble if people circulate books behind your back, right? You're doomed. You're absolutely doomed, right? Read this. Okay, all right, because we were on this journey of just trying to discover the goodness of God because of a situation going on in our own lives, right? And we were told to read a book called The Danger of the Health and Wealth Gospel. And it's interesting because I'm going to talk about how things get twisted. But I don't know what your gospel is. Is it sick and poor? If it's not health and wealth, what is it? Sick and poor? Like, isn't that a brilliant message to go into the world with today? This gospel is good news. You too could be miserable. Don't get above yourself, probably be sick, and the poorer the better, because Jesus loves a poor person. Oh, the poor will always be with you. Let's twist as many scriptures as we can get to fit our own narrative. You know what the really interesting thing about that is? The people who were saying that to us, particularly at the time, and we had to stand firm on God's heart for us. Well, the people who were saying that had way more money than us, and at that stage had families. Do you get that? But yet they were telling me, oh, don't you, how dare you believe that God would be good? You health and wealth freak. I was like, actually inside, I was quite hurt and disappointed by it. I was confused because I was going, actually, God, what is your heart? Why would you pick that person who, quite frankly, is no better than me in any way, right? I might not be worse than them, but I'm certainly no better. Do you know why? Because under the law, we're all doomed. We're all sinners. So why would you pick some people out to go, well, you can be really prospered. You can have kids, but you can't, Andrew, because... Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away. Do you see how twisted that is? Oh, well, I want to believe for more. That's where our journey started. You want to believe for God's goodness? You health and wealth freak, right? Like I was some kind of Belfast Benny Hinn. Like reach out and touch the screen and, you know, pay for my private jet. You know, it's like, no. I just wanted to have a family. I don't think there was anything wrong with that. Now, you would read the Bible and God would go, I want to see you blessed. I want to see you prospered. And so I had to start to understand under grace what that really meant and where it did begin. But make no bones about it. As soon as somebody throws lazy tropes, right, what it is, it's a religious spirit maligning the promise of God. Don't get angry at the people. The spirit behind it is to keep God's people down and not to live in hope. Because when the enemy can rob you of hope for tomorrow, he can ruin everything today. And it's the cycle continues. But our God is a God of hope. Grace brings you hope. Because God's promise over your life, irrespective of your performance or what you have done, is I want you prospered. That means in your body. That means in your family. I'll come to it. Do you get me? So see this kind of lazy thing? Thank you. This kind of lazy thing of, oh, you can't believe this, that, and the other. Listen, you can't even find it in the word, so just shut up, all right? Is that too straight? Too straight, Penny says, okay. All right, remember to be gracious, Andrew. All right. So these are lazy accusations. It's almost like we're better than you because we understand. Well, if God is not your source and not your supply, who is you? Because that's what you're saying, isn't it? That's really dodgy ground. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, I can do. That's the heart of religion that says, actually, I don't need God first and foremost because I'm enough. I can be the source of my supply. No, you can't. The word is clear. He's the source of everything. So that's what I love about the gospel of grace. You know what I love about the gospel of grace? And thank you to people like Pastor Prince. Keep pointing us to Jesus and his work. Keep pointing us to the one who did it all. Right? Because then we understand how things work. Now let me tell you, because it seems really clear to me. We need a better understanding, right? And so let's get into it. Everything's been twisted. What's really interesting about this thing of health and wealth and God's prosperity, because if you live under God's grace, you need to have a heart of expectation that you're going to be blessed, right? And you're going to be prospered. And then the world won't give a monkeys, right? The religious spirit that we all operate, you know, or we see operating around us, will try to crush this promise of God in your life in an instant, right? But just remember, it's not about the people, it's about the spirit that operates behind. Because the spirit of religion, the spirit of the law is what? It's death, right? Let's not mince our words here. That's what the word says. The word says the spirit of the law is only death. It's obsolete. Now, we don't need the law written on tablets of stone. Why? Because God has written it on our hearts, and we have been freed as sons and daughters of God to receive all of his goodness. That's what his word tells us. Now, here's what's interesting. The enemy always just twists everything. Why would we doubt this? Well, let's understand what we're dealing with. All the way in the Bible, all the way from the garden in Eden, all the way through to Revelation, it's all about prosperity. In fact, it's mentioned directly in Scripture, the word that I'm going to use this morning, more than 90 times, and then hundreds of additional times through other words of like meaning. We are supposed to be prosperous, but it's his type of prosperity, right? And whenever we understand, and hopefully something's going to drop in your hearts today, that his kind of prosperity is not just about material things, but it's every single area of your life. It's your spirit, your soul, and your body. And when we prosper in those, it leads us to a place of peace, which the word says passes all understanding. Do you get that? Don't we want to have peace that passes all understanding in these days? Well, it starts with being a man or a woman who's prospered, right? Because we all know, I'll come to it, okay? Yeah, I have so much to say and so little time to say it, I might just put stuff into next week, okay? This kingdom of God that we talk about, it says in Romans 8:14, is spirit-led with God, and his kingdom comes in first place, Matthew 6:33, and everything else gets added into us. Now, so before I actually delve into the word, right, there's another prosperity that the world understands. And this is where the enemy has come and has been able to twist it, right? There's a world system, and it's, let me tell you, the devil can't create anything. All he can do is take what God gives in gift and then twist it and manipulate it. Does that make sense? So what we actually have is a competing philosophies, if you like. One which is God-breathed and it's spirit-led, Romans 8:14. Then the enemy comes and he twists it and changes it to bring us back under bondage. Now, whereas the Bible talks about us being prosperous people and having an expectation that's his heart, the world system focuses on what we call materialism. And that says, by definition, that worldly possessions constitute the greatest good and the highest value in life. You see it today. I am amazed, right? We had this conversation with our son, Ben, who's 18. And some days he's 18 coming on 40, and sometimes he's 18 coming on thick as that there, right? Just depends on the day and the particular thing you're dealing with. But there's this thing on Instagram, right? Where it's like these people locally, like from Belfast. And there they stand beside helicopters with a Lamborghini, all this stuff. Just going to work. And I'm thinking, stop lying, right? Or, you know, in my new apartment, and it's all like selfies and big lips and hair and all sorts of stuff. They're all the same, right? And He said to me, Dad, look at this guy. He's 19. He's from Hollywood and he has 4 Lamborghinis. I went, no, he doesn't. I don't want to wreck your life here, son, but he definitely doesn't. How do you know? I said, because he's 19. He's from Hollywood, right? He's a wee lad. It's like serious, straight up, that's how I know. That's how you shouldn't be doubting people like that. No, trust me. Because what's being fed continually to people is that stuff, right, has primacy. I'm not saying that stuff's not important. It's my granny used to say, right, if you've money in your pocket, it's awful handy when you have to go and do your messages, right? But there's something that's got twisted in the narrative. And that's what the enemy does. So rather than prosperity, the world talks about materialism. And it says that actually where we're happiest, right, is, you know, what constitutes the best and the highest, right? The best value in life is that you can have things. And by definition, that's a preoccupation with or an emphasis on material object, material comfort, and material consideration. In fact, we go as far today as to go like how we value people and worth and give people worth is about the accumulation of assets or the accumulation of things. And possession is the highest priority. Because what we've done is we've bought into the belief that, and it's just, listen, it's just a little bit of a twist on what God actually said. Because let me be absolutely clear, your prosperity involves material things. Do you get that? There is no point in saying the gospel is good news and grace is fantastic if you can't put your heat on this winter. Do you hear me? So let's not go completely the other way and buck the whole lot out the window and go, we're all going to have hairy jumpers and, you know, remember the hairy jumpers? It was just like, my ma used to make me wear them. And I was stupid. She used to put these jumpers on and go, it's all prickly and I don't like it. Get yourself out to school. And I would walk myself to school, not thinking, if I walked around the corner, could I just taken it off? Not that bright, okay? I just sit there the whole day. But Christians love that, don't they? A wee bit of pain, that's brilliant. Makes us feel good. We're earning something, right? But all that's happened is materialism has gone. Actually, God wants you to be super blessed in your stuff, but he doesn't limit it to stuff. And he certainly, what he says is, the stuff is the least. That's the difference. Don't set your heart on what you can accumulate, the Lord says, because it can be taken from you like that. Because all you're doing is you're robbing yourself of the full expression of his grace for you. Do you get that? There is so much more than just stuff, right? But that's where in these, comparing these sort of philosophies or ideologies, that's just where the devil has come in and got our attention into, Jesus, you are my pathway to stuff. No, he's not. Okay? And that's actually not grace. Jesus is your path to life and life in its fullness. Now, that's a really important point because many of us, even at times in my own life when we started our own business, it was at a time where, you know, like raising 3 kids, I'm just going to be really honest, they're expensive, aren't they? You know, and then when you have them, you can't give them back, so you're kind of stuck with them and you're like, now I have to pay for all of them and they just continually need things. Like, did we not buy her trainers 2 years ago? What do you mean her feet have grown? Totally joking. Like, how quick do their feet grow anyway, you know? Anyway, just cut the tops of them. Sure, stick our toes out. I am totally joking, right? Some of you are going, great idea. I love that. And even in my times, I was like, I became more interested at the start, if I'm really honest with God, you do this because I've got kids to feed. Honestly. Lord had to show us, peel back the layers and go, hold on, you're missing it. The world says materialism. Set your heart. You'll be happy when you have this stuff. Remember I said last week, never buy into an outside-in philosophy. It's always grace works from the inside out, not the outside in. You can have all the stuff in the world, right, and still be sick and miserable and full of condemnation. It will not satisfy you one bit. One bit. Will it make your life go easier for a period? Absolutely. We're not stupid, right? But the bit that's really important in your life doesn't touch it. In fact, I was talking about this with Josh McCauley, a friend who pastors Redemption and Rhema, and going, you know, it's like it's interesting, like even people with lots of money, then become preoccupied with managing and keeping the money. It just, do you know what we think? We think it'd be all be brilliant. Talk to people with loads of money, it's a total stress for them. Because now they're having to manage it and worry about it. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. We go, oh no, that wouldn't be me. Give me 6 months, I'll buck the trend. You know what I mean? I'll just bow, listen. I know that's just because they're just not me. You drop that in, Lord. If I just could win the lottery, that'd be awesome, right? It'll kill you. Ask people with proper money and they'll go, you've no idea. I remember talking to someone actually in a business context, and they had a fairly significant business. And I remember as the days when I was banking, I remember saying to them, this is incredible, brilliant, da-da-da. And the guy looked at me dead in the eye and he said, you know what? I've bred a monster. Look at it. All right? He says, no, the problem with the monster, I've got to get up and feed it every morning. And I had this flash of inspiration in that moment where I went, flip. On the outside of it, everything you could ever dream of it. On the inside, nothing but stress and worry. Why? Because the enemy takes what God designs in his heart and just twists it to keep you captive. That's the bottom line. Now, let's look at it. How am I doing? Is this okay? Because we've got to understand this, because many Christians and leaders, so what happens then is, like, materialism is flesh-led instead of spirit-led. It causes a connection to the world that's not easily broken. And it's hard to live and operate in God's grace whenever we're probably more connected to what we see as the results of God's grace, you know, materialism that way. And that's why many Christian leaders, rightly so, have had they have this default reaction, but they've gone completely the other way. The default is, like, even if you mention this word prosperity and the Bible together, then, like, the automatic outcome, do you know what their fear is? Because it's religion tries to control from the outside in. Don't talk about prosperity, because what's going to happen is people get materialistic, right? And then we can't control that. So know that religion is always about keeping your outside looking nice. And Jesus said, you've got to clean the inside of the cup. That's righteousness. We clean the inside of the cup. So what happens is, you know, what religion has done through the church has said, no, we need to control you from going down the way of the world and miss the fact that it's just a distortion on the heart of God. So let's come back to the heart of God. Yeah? So what does the word actually mean? I'll go really quick. In this, so the actual word is, you know, because I don't want to teach prosperity and have you bound up materialism. That would be really stupid on my behalf to do that. So what is this word that's used so many times? The word is shalah. Okay, shalalalalalala, boom, boom. Right? You can't help it. As soon as you hear shala, who didn't think that? On the road to Amarillo. Of course you did. Shalalalala. See, that's a good way to remember it now, isn't it? So shala is this word in Hebrew. And do you know what it means? It means to push forward, to press through, or to get on. Think about that. This is the Lord who delights when his kids push forward, press through, and get on. It always carries the idea of thriving and succeeding, not being stuck, but going deeper and deeper, as Ephesians 3 says, into the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of his love for you. That's what it means to be truly prosperous. In fact, even when you get to Deuteronomy 28, the whole thing of prosperity is built into this. Remember, in Exodus, they leave the place of slavery in Egypt. They're coming into the promised land. And God says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all the commandments, remember, under grace you go, Jesus did that, so I don't have to. Thank you, Lord. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Think about it. You need to go and read this. When the Lord sets you high above the nations, that's a promise to people who keep the word. Right? As righteous men and women under the covenant of God's grace, his same promise as you, I'll set you above the world. You'll be in it, but you won't be off it. The things that touch the people in the world, you have a covenant promise given by God above that it will not touch you. Do you get that? I'll set you high above the earth. It's not just flowery language. It's a promise of protection in these times. Anyway, I digress. Here we go. And above all the nations of the earth, the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you'll be in the city, you'll be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your womb. Do you see how he's going? This is what it's like. I've taken you out of slavery. The sense of prosperity is you were once here, and now I want you to push forward, press through, and get on. And this is what it looks like. You don't need to live like a slave anymore. Press on into the goodness of God, and that's you starting to prosper. So prosperity is this forward-looking sense of momentum in your life where you're going deeper into the grace of Jesus and seeing the fruit thereof in your life. That's what it really means to prosper. And in the New Testament, the same word then translated across is, you find it in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Now, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. That word soteria, God rescuing us out of destruction, made whole, restored, healed, deserved, delivered, and preserved. All right? So do you see the sense of God's heart for you? What is it for you this morning? Because some of you, honestly, are pretty comfortable with your money, aren't you? Right? You can have an extra 20 grand a year, but you know what? It's not going to materially change how you live today. Right or wrong? Some of you are going, 20 grand? I'd mud wrestle my granny for that, all right? Flip sick. Stripped to the waist, let's go for it. There's a picture. Where did that come from? Who knows? Don't look at me like that. Right? Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. But what is it for you? Is it your body today? Is it your mind? Are you afraid for tomorrow? Because I pop 20 grand into your account, you're still going to live afraid that you might catch something, develop something, that there might never be restoration in your family, that you might die young because your father or your mother did. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants you to push forward, push through, get through in every single bit of your life, right? Don't take the twisted view of the world which connects us to stuff and twists the heart of God for us. Because I can think of a dozen things in my life where I would go, I'll take that all day over money. Anybody? I think that's where we start to align with God's heart. Now, so this word, shalah, all right? We can see that in definition, it's way more than materialism. But here's the good news for you, all right? Material things are included. It's just the order of them. Remember last week? I mean, if you even think about it, I should have said this. Last week, what were they doing when they gathered together in Jerusalem for the libation ceremony? They were thanking God for what? The harvest? Food. What they needed to survive and eat. And they were saying, God, do it again, send the rain. Remember that stuff? Great talk, you should listen to it. And so what happens is that the material stuff is in there. Now, the question, let me just finish with today. I'm setting up a couple of weeks to set this up, and then we're gonna go hard at it in a few weeks. How do you prosper? What does it mean to prosper? So it's God's heart for me. Remember I said I was going to make this really basic. So rid yourself of any, I'll tell you what the enemy will make you feel like. When you feel like I want to press on, develop myself, push further, go further, and see more, the enemy will come straight away and tell you, not for you, you're excluded, you can't do that because of all this stuff, right? So we get our hearts convinced that it's God's will for me, and that means me and you, to prosper in all things. It means that I'm going to press through. It's not a twisted view that the world has, and we're going to not listen to the religious spirit that says that this is a bad thing. It's not, it's good. Right? We understand it, but how do you do it then? Where do we start? We start is to say this. You know, after you're convinced that God's will for you is to be prospered, then the question is, well, how does it work? It's not about stuff, so don't buy into the outside-in mentality of the world, because you can have all of that and still be desperately unfulfilled. So what is it? Well, if you look at the word, very clearly, what we see is prosperity does not start or depend on your circumstances. It's really important. Prosperity starts with that conviction on the inside that God's grace is all that you need. Because I'll tell you this, prosperity is not about what you have, it is about who you have. Now, that's why I want to make this really basic. It is not about what you have, it is about who you have. And if you don't have Jesus today, then you don't have anything. Everything can be taken in a second. But as soon as you receive Jesus and his grace, the Bible says you are prosperous. Now, even under the law, it was like this. I love, I love the story of from Joshua through and the ark and all that, that beautiful picture of Jesus. There's this guy called Obed-Edom. I've just picked a few verses here. 1 Chronicles 13:14. Some of you might not have heard of Obed-Edom, but he took the ark in. You know, the ark is a picture of Jesus and his presence. They would put the ark in front of them and follow the presence of the Lord. And Obed-Edom takes it in and says in 1 Chronicles 13, the Lord blessed his household and everything that he had. Why? Because he welcomed the presence of God. Genesis 39:2, Joseph, we did a series on him a couple of years ago, right? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, right? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. This is when he was being poked at as a slave in the public marketplace, ready to be sold into the house of the Egyptian, after he had been completely betrayed by all of his family, and he literally didn't even have the clothes that he was standing on. Because I don't want to be too graphic for you, but when you bought a slave, they were buck naked as the day they were born, and they were examined from top to toe to make sure that they were fit. And what does the Bible say? Now, most of us would go, really? And the Lord says, prospered. Why? Because the Lord was with him. The next verse says, in the house, it says the Lord is with him, and he made all that he did to prosper. Right? Genesis 39:3. I think that the work that the Lord wants to do in your heart this week is to show you and to remind you that because of Jesus and his grace, you are already prospered. In fact, prosperity is only found in Jesus, and understanding that in his presence, first and foremost, is everything that you need. We don't use Jesus as a slot machine to come and to get what we need and then live our lives, okay, with Jesus as the bolt on. Actually, what we see even under the law was when the presence of God was there, everything around them just worked. Do you get that? When they were connected intimately to God, when they were in that place of his presence, when they were aware of his presence and they prioritized his presence around them, everything they did prospered. So Jesus is your prosperity and nothing else. He is the one that actually that we connect with first. And it says in John 15, when we connect there, the life that is in him flows through us and brings good fruit. Some of us need to recalibrate on that one. Because we've gone, I'm not prospered because I don't have this and this and this. And our prosperity is defined not by Jesus and his presence in our lives, but our prosperity or lack thereof is often defined by the lack of what we see around us. I would be prosperous if, that's outside in. Jesus says, can your heart be convinced that every moment of every day under the covenant of my grace, right, that you are prospered already? Now, when we relax in that space and we allow the Holy Spirit to show us that, do you know what happens? That's what Pastor Prince says. Brilliant point. Changed my life, actually. So we throw away had it where he said that the least use of your faith is for stuff. Use your faith for righteousness. Right? I love that. Because when you're convinced of that, you're righteous, everything else flows. Isn't that awesome? How much time do we spend worrying about, Lord, will you do this? Will you bless this? We need to pray. Get the prayer line. Remember them, the prayer chains? 50 middle-aged women all scattered around the country. Did you get the call? Did you get the call? Oh, we need a cry to the Lord. God bless them, right? It's always middle-aged women because men were like, I'm not, don't believe that for that. All right? Unless some of you, I know I'm on dodgy ground. And if you're on a prayer chain today, God bless you. Keep praying. Just keep me away from oh, is the prayer chain moving? Oh, it is. Oh, no. All right. That's terrible. I'm really in trouble today. Do you know what it is? I'm kind of in holiday mode. It's half term. Just chuck these grenades in and go. But it's interesting, isn't it? We need to pray. We need to do this. We need to do that. And actually what we need to do is just be conscious, aware that I am in his presence. Let me just give you a quick verse. In Genesis, I love this. We were chatting about this week. It was Gary brought them attention. Even under the law, they understood it. The Lord replied, this was Moses and the Lord talking, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest, right? So when the Lord's presence is there, I'll give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us from here. Do you get that? So under the law, what Moses, and then he goes on to say, how will anyone know if you're pleased with me and your people unless you're with us? Isn't that amazing? Like, can I just tell you something? You know the good news for you as a believer in Jesus today under his new covenant? You are never excluded from his presence. While Moses, he didn't have that option because he was under the law, or what would become the law, right? We think that we can, like, we're going to be less prosperous, right? You cannot ever be out of the presence of God. That's a brilliant truth for every single one of you here in Christ today. So that's why you can get up every morning confident that you're going to see his goodness. Now, if you choose to buy into the narrative of a twisted ideology, then you'll live in the consequence of it. You won't have peace. You'll not be satisfied. You'll do that. All that stuff. But to be like Joseph or to be like any of his school, your presence is with me. And in your presence, I find everything that I need. And that's where we can rest and trust that in the things that I can't change or need to be changed, the things that I'm worrying about, he's working on. Now, is that not prosperous? The world wouldn't have a clue about that. They're going frantic over this, that, and the other. How do we do this? How do we do that? How do we do the other? And the gospel of grace through Jesus comes right into your life and goes, just you're in my presence, always. As far as the east is from the west, I've removed everything that would ever take you out of my presence. And I've promised that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Whether you get the feels for it or not isn't important. Because the fact of God's truth doesn't really care about your feelings. Ben Shapiro, on my quote. Isn't that amazing? I think some of us have forgotten that. I think that's why grace is so wonderful. When we come back and go, Jesus, let me put you right in the center. Because when you do things God's way, you live a full and prosperous life. Like that whole sense of God, like even Moses going, if you're not with me, I don't want to do it anyway. Why would I do anything where I'm not in your presence? Do you know why? Because it's going to end up in defeat. It's going to end up in all of that. I don't want it. That's probably why you don't want riches that don't come as a result of what God supplies in your life. Right? Because if God's not in it, it'll only bring death and destruction to you. Don't buy into the, oh, no, I'll have, no, you won't. That's what the word says. We align with what the word says. Do you get that? Now, rest assured today that if you have physical needs, that God is already working on those. It's just, let me just help you. I'm going to set up next week. In Genesis 26, this is my very last point, I promise. It says there's a famine in the land, and beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give these lands. Now, there's a sense of something here, and I'm just going to set up next week. The whole point is Egypt. You don't want to live in Egypt, right? Egypt was a place of slavery. It was a place of all that. You get that in the Bible? And so what happens is when times are tough, what happens here, right, is like there's famine in the land, there's lack. What we're tempted to do is to go to the world and get our needs met there. And the Lord says, don't do that because I made you a promise first. Okay? It's next week's talk, but I just want to set it up. Dwell in this land, right? Dwell where God's planted you, where he's put you, and I will be with you, he says, and I will bless you. But God, what? There's famine. There's lack. Those people are having it away. Look at the way they are able to do it, right? I need a wee bit of that in my life. And the Lord says, no, no, no. My presence is with you and I'll bless you, right? Not just that, but I'm going to give you a blessing which goes through the generations so that your children and your children's children will be multiplied and blessed and inherit the promise of God, right? I'm off for that. So when Isaac is in famine, he goes down to Gerar. God says, don't go there, right? Live here. Don't go to the world. Don't go down to the ways of the world, right? Don't do what the world does. Spend time in the presence of the King of Kings. You know, I'm going to say, come to church, right? Pray, read your Bible, all of that stuff which gives you and brings you faith and keeps you connected, because that is the wisdom of God. And you know what happens? It says here in Proverbs 3:2, my last verse for today, for the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Isn't that class? It's like when we do things the Lord's way, found in his presence, not bound into the narrative of the world, as shiny as it may seem, the promise of God is this, length of days and long life. I listened to Pastor Prince on this week. Really, really spoke to me. Because the length of days, because I go, length of days and long life. If your days are miserable, that's probably not a good promise. Do you get that? Another 40 years of this? Flipping heck. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever thought that? No. No, I have never either, because my life is so perfect. Oh, come on, you spoofers. You have thought it. Have you ever thought, flipping another 30 years of this? Malarkey. Jesus, come now. Absolutely. It's been in my heart for sure. Jesus, this would be a brilliant time for that rapture you talked about. Bring me up into the heavens, right? Quickly, because this Wednesday's going real bad. And Thursday might be better, but I frankly can't see it right now. And Pastor Prince this week, he explains this and he goes, length of days is different from long life. Length of days means that your days become full. I was like, oh, I can sign up for that, right? Full of enjoyment, full of precious moments, is the way he put it. And experiencing the kind of days that you just wish wouldn't end. Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? Like, that's prosperity. God, I wish this day was another 8 hours longer. I wish this sermon could go on for 4 more hours. That, see, if you were truly prospered, that's what you'd be thinking. Just throwing that out there. Amen. Peace, obviously, is the Hebrew word shalom, which means health, well-being, and wholeness. That's what it means to be prospered. Has that helped you today? You see, my heart for us in this church and for everyone who's connected to this church, for Tom and Elizabeth and all those guys watching in the States of Vaughan, all around the world, is that in these days that we would come back to the simplicity of the good news of Jesus, which is I am with you always. And if I am with you, and that bond can't be broken. Do you get that? If you're in Christ today, it's all the work is on him, right? And we stay connected because we love, and we want to receive, but he promised that he loved us first. So you can never escape from his presence. And because that's the truth, you can rest and know that your days are prospered. Now remember, take it into your own hands, you negate the grace of God. You frustrate the grace of God. But can I ask you this week, honestly, before you get to anything, I have these sayings that go through my head. If I'm worrying about it, he's working on it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to rest. How's that going to happen? I don't know. But you know Jesus. Thank you so much. Let me just get on. And I've got grace for the day that I'm in. I don't have grace. Do you know what? You don't have grace for Monday? You certainly don't have grace for Tuesday or Wednesday right now. The Lord's promised to you, you've got grace for today. Rest and trust him today. No tomorrow. Get up and rest and trust him tomorrow. You'll have grace for the day that you're in. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's take communion together. Worship people. Thank you. So, two things. It's just part of our worship. Part of what we do is, it says in the word that in the early church and all this stuff, but they set a precedent. They came together for the breaking of bread and for their encouragement around the word. So the breaking of bread was so central. Remember, I say to you every week that you are worthy this morning. The Lord loves you. You're clean this morning. There is nothing in you, about you, that which is known or unknown, which disqualifies you this morning in any way. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and he delights in you. He loves you. His heart for you this morning is wave after wave of the most incredible love for you and for your children, for your homes and your businesses, over your bodies and your minds today. He loves you, loves you, loves you. And he will never change. And so, Father, we take this morning, if you're sick in any way in your mind, you know, just whatever that condition is, remember you can cast it under the Lord because he cares for you. And in faith this morning, we take this wafer, Lord, this bread, and we say, thank you that your body was broken. Jesus, in this place, Holy Spirit, move and heal in Jesus' name. We cancel every sickness that has come against the people of God in this church and everyone who's listening this morning. every the sentence of death even that was written over people, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. We speak health and we speak wholeness. We speak true prosperity over you, over your minds and your bodies in Jesus' name. And we eat, Lord, and we say thank you that you are our healer. And Father, we thank you that this morning, Lord, that we're in your presence, Lord. And when we go out of here, we'll be in your presence. We can't escape your presence, Lord. And because of that, we're prospered. Father, that today I pray that the truth of that, Lord, everything we read where it said, because we have to, because if you have to, if you keep, Lord, I thank you that this blood shows us that you did it all for us. You paid the price. You paid the debt. The bill has been settled in full. Jesus, there's no unsettled claims against us. This morning we stand as free men and free women, Lord, and you have set us free indeed from shame, sin, condemnation, and guilt. And so we stand here this morning and say, thank you, Jesus. For our week to come, we are confident that we will see your good. Why? Because your sacrifice was enough. So we drink, Lord, and say, amen. I'm going to take our offering. And I'm going to talk about giving in a few weeks, by the way. But be generous. Listen to the Lord. And we don't do anything out of guilt or compulsion, but we ask you to listen to the Lord and to give. And we'll do that as we worship in our last song here. But lift your heads, lift your hearts, lift your hands, okay? And use this song as truth over your life this morning in Jesus' name.